Whether you take it as a challenge or an opportunity is up to you. But I found one thing that obviously was picked up here and it seems to come up again and again is the idea that people want to be led and they don't want to be leaders. So I guess what I'm putting to you here is, do you want to be led or are you willing to step up and be leaders? And that might define how you move on a little bit with this conversation. So I think it's quite an interesting one. I mean, it's an opportunity because it's an opportunity to potentially get something of a following behind you if you're interested. It's also a challenge because some of you may be sitting here going, actually, I've got enough going on in my organisation, in my own life. I don't know if I want to create this whole new other structure. So I'm gonna leave that one fairly open for you. I think what we're going to try and do now is to go around each of the tables and just get the table host to give a fairly concise summary of everything that's happened over the and you know me, so I'll be stopping them if they go over too long. So maybe, James, you look like you're ready to... I don't know if we can get that to work.
Okay. I'll have to stand up, the microphone's not working. Just very quickly, so we had set for ourselves what other practical approaches to solve are there to solving global problems. That means not necessarily global citizenship related. So we gave ourselves that rather large challenge. Anyway, the first group defined three key ideas. One was building communities of interest, communities, local communities across the world, communities of practice, etc. Building communities and strengthening communities was key. The other one was about dialogue. So how do we even talk about it? Nurturing dialogue around, you know, locally and nationally and globally was important. How do we do that? And the third was the concept of leadership. What does leadership mean in a complex, interconnected world? So we set those three themes from the first group. The second group took that forward, threw in a few very interesting questions about reshaping global institutions, international institutions, but focusing particularly on leadership with some insights like leadership is cultural. That was one of the key things. How do we deal with that fact that we have different cultural forms of leadership? And if we're talking about embracing a kind of embracing leaders from around the world and being open to different perspectives, we need to embrace that cultural perspectives on leadership. We also felt that one of the key challenges was making the leadership real between local and global. So people, that it's important that people are rooted in their experience of communities and how they work, rather than these free-floating agents of global citizenship. So that local to global leadership was important. We looked at some kind of the essence of what those values and principles might be of leadership in this global interconnected world and trying to make it a better place. And of course, I don't think we came to any agreement. One interesting one was about emerging from communities, that there was a sense that in this complexity, things need to emerge. What can we find out from around the world through this dialogue, through these communities, that will help shape some kind of form of leadership that's going to take us to a better place? And it was quite a nice one that, what can we do? Well, we can't do too much, let's be honest. We don't agree on much, we can't do much, but what we can do is model the leadership we want to see. We can nurture links between local leaders. We can expose the world to different models of leadership. And I guess I don't want to leave you on this one, but I'll wrap up. One question was, can we escape the leadership of the few? As Simon said about, you know, we all want to be followers. 97% want to be followers. And that kind of seemed to contradict our principle of that people seem to agree on participatory empowering leadership and engaging people in decisions and that kind of stuff. And thankfully, we ended on a few examples. Daniel talking to the Occupy movement across the world, some examples of youth engagement and youth empowerment starting to open up new opportunities for new models of leadership. So we ended on some good examples, and it would be nice to then follow that through. And so if there are examples that anybody has where we can see what good leadership might be for this globally interconnected world and complex world, then it would be nice to hear some practical examples.
Great.
Okay.
I think that would quite nicely lead actually into Imam's discussion on sharing stories, because there might be something that naturally comes up that might kind of follow on from that.
So we had interesting discussions about the different approaches to global citizenship. From the first discussion that we had, so there was a couple of people that rolled out that there's three ways of experiencing global citizenship: being, doing, and giving, which raised a couple of questions in the two coming tables and discussions, whether there's always a benefit from the private sector from raising so much money and then afterwards giving it back to the community and raising it in a direct, proper way, not proper way, legal way, not legal way. Then there was the concept of a social, maybe cabinet, around the approach to global citizenship. The stories were around appreciating your own identity and sharing things in common, whether it's supposed to be a global city with multiple identities. We had as well citizen journalism, and whether this works in certain countries, does not work in certain countries, and what are the issues and challenges that we need to be aware of when working around this. Active villagers, and not necessarily it can be global, but it will make the world a better place. Is it towards the approach of global citizenship? Knowing what is good for all is also knowing what is good for the local level. So if we know that's going to work for the local level, it might not work in the same way, but it will lead to a global good for all. We also had showcasing and celebrating successful stories that tap into self-interest, so that eventually would lead to stories coming up either from top to bottom or from bottom to top. So we experienced a couple of discussions around Ushahidi on the second table and how Ushahidi actually drove the momentum in Haiti and in the earthquakes, starting from the bottom for people actually gathering the information into the system, for the Red Cross, the international community to tap, and governments to be aware of what's going on and tap into the resources, into the places. We talked about materials, how simple language that are easy to translate and communicate between the different communities, and how parents as well as leaders play a big role in successful stories. Because the current technology movement, the Twitter, the Facebook, the social media, kids are watching YouTube. 7 years old today are engaging with the media, with the technology, more than the older generation is. And they're coming up to their parents, asking them questions. What is this? Tell me more about this. So parents, education is important, and self-awareness is important in this, as well as recognizing that the early stages in life now are making the change, and they're the ones that are driving the change through. And we talked about US troops and invasions, and we talked about the YouTube of Connie 2012, which had now a week is out there and had so millions of people tapping into it, and the question whether people know what is behind it or they're just tapping into it for the good cause. So roughly that was it.
Fantastic. So lots of stories coming out, lots of different kind of ideas. So moving on from kind of what works to, are there any principles maybe behind global citizenship? Seems quite a natural position.
Yes. We had three groups that couldn't have been more different from one another. So doesn't make my position especially enviable at the moment to try and capture them in about 3 minutes. But the first group had a quite... There was a lot of dialogue and difference of opinion, but the broad approach was that a very... We want as little as possible, but we want some kind of guiding principles. And some of the things, the main things were around accepting or perhaps engaging and empathizing with difference in all its forms. Action-focused and responsibility. And whether that was individual or collective responsibility was left wide open. What kind of action was left wide open? The main thing was about the space for that dialogue and that interaction to happen. The second group brought out the document that all of you have in your packages and said, you know what, we think this pretty much does it. Like, it's not perfect, and we will have things we'll disagree with on it, but this is enough to start from. Why don't we just take this and go with it? And then a third group came in and said, we have problems with almost everything that's in that document. And trying to find consensus is exactly what's wrong with this process. And that this is a group that quite happily identified, broadly speaking, as the troublemaker group, but that also was able to say that there are too many contradictions within all this to come up with anything that's meaningful out of it. So essentially, why aren't we And if we try and come up with anything universal, it will be impossible to avoid at the practical action stage it not becoming a kind of a parachuting in of, we have this clear set of principles and values, and we're going to come and tell you why they're the principles and values behind global citizenship. And so, but then we came to a bit more of a of some of the terms of looking at what that actually means. Can we be in the group we are here in this group, in this room? Can we find the people where we find the common ground with and start to work from that common ground? And think we do have an opportunity here, even if there's a lot of disagreement about how the event has come together, who has been invited, those kinds of structural process questions, that there are still a lot of people in here who might not agree on everything, but there are people who will agree on enough to be able to do something really impressive out of this. So that was kind of the place that we came to, right? I'm sure we would have gotten to a whole other range of questions if we'd been here a little longer, but that's where it was when things wrapped up. So that's, which I think will feed into what we're going to do this afternoon quite well in some ways, but that will be simple. We'll come back to introducing that later.
Okay, excellent. So yeah, three very different groups, three very different interpretations, which is fine. That's kind of what we expect, really. I guess moving on from, some potentially challenging groups, challenging questions, to the actual challenges of global citizenship. So Amy, I don't know if you want to try and summarize the...
I think we can all agree that there are a lot of challenges around global citizenship. We had, the three groups, we had a conversation about the definitional and conceptual challenges, which has already been reflected in the principles discussion. We also discussed some of the connectivity challenges, as well as some of the operational challenges. And so we were able to identify that. We did have a dialogue about whether or not we needed to have something in common. There was some elements that were felt to be in common. However, we also had some input saying that we don't need to agree on it, that we should recognize there's a variety of different ways, and this is a challenge as well as a strength. Connecting back to the stories table, we did have some stories come up. There was a recognition that we do have strength to build on. There is value in this room, that many of the people here are here because they are able to be a translator in some way. They are connected on both the local and the global scale, and that is not... that's not universal. And so there was some discussion about education and raising awareness, and also thinking about education beyond some of the traditional ways to more participatory or informal education. There's an emphasis again that there's no one answer. We had some other ideas about how to talk about, it wasn't explicitly said, but to how to talk about this term in a way that would be able to be translated. A stress more on the idea of citizen versus citizenship, which brought up a lot of different connotations that were more controversial. Also, in the first group, it was mentioned that we engaging in the process without always knowing the final outcome is valuable, and that a longer-term vision, small steps can make a difference, and they can evolve and adapt. Solutions can evolve and adapt to problems. It doesn't have to be concrete all the time. Some of the other things, like intercultural dialogue, creating international opportunities, and also in this last conversation about how to do that without mobility. And I think there was a lot of, we started to get into some very rich conversation about how things have been adapted from the local level and also translated up. So I'll put this up, so I'll invite you to come and look at it specifically and also to add to it. And I was very excited because some of the things that came out of this did make it to the wants and offers list. So I would encourage everyone to think again about what they found valuable or questions that they had that they could put onto that board.
Fantastic. So lastly, just to kind of bring this to a place, the idea of kind of forming this network, this alliance, whatever it might be, how did that go?
Okay. Yeah, no, I think there were some really good conversations. One thing that was shared across the three tables was the idea that there's already a lot of networks, there's already a lot of alliances, they're expensive, they require a lot of stewardship, so let's see what we can do to do one of two things. So one is to either piggyback and engage with existing initiatives, and the other was to keep a loose a very loose structure which can maintain some form of conversation, but without having a kind of secretariat-based approach, etc. So on the back of that conversation, there was an offer. So we did get an offer from our table, which we're pleased about, and that was from, is it Tom from the Alliance of Civilizations on the first table that I had here?
Daniel.
And Daniel was saying that there may be the possibility of hosting something that comes out of this potential group, network, coalition within the frame of the Alliance of Civilizations. There's an upcoming event in Vienna, either prior to, during, after, so that might be a possibility. So that was a potential offer that could go on the wall. There was some discussion about that on the third table that I hosted, and whether or not the Alliance would be the right frame. So there's some interesting insight in relation to that, which we'll carry forward. But in the second group, what we looked at was this idea of loose versus structured. So some people are very much clear on this idea of, look, we need a structure, we need a vision, we need objectives, we need to know who's in and who's out. Some people were very much like, the conversation is enough, the process is enough, and things will emerge. Let's keep on giving it time, it's an ongoing process. People may drop out, people may coalesce and remain. So there was a little bit of a divergence in relation to that. On the last table, something that they came up with very concretely at the end was there seems to be two issues that we need to look at as separate issues that we can possibly engage with in terms of action. So the first would be the idea that we want to provide something when person X, in whatever country they may be, wants to get involved in issue Y, how should they do this? So we want to provide something like an opportunity, a clearinghouse. It could be an online database. There's been all sorts of things coming out about potential use of technology in online. So that was one route forward in terms of action. Can we look at that? Another was, how do we continue the ongoing conversation around global citizenship amongst multiple stakeholders, linking and connecting it? So that's a bit more back to that idea of an ongoing conversation. And they were seen to be slightly separate things. And that was an area, the second one around the conversation, where a link potentially with the Alliance was seen to be a possible benefit. So it felt like the conversation did move quite well through the three tables.
Just set us up for the afternoon. Okay, I've been told I have to use the microphone now, but it hasn't been working, so I'm going to use it. I'm trying to keep myself fairly quiet because of it. Okay, I'm not going to keep you too much longer. So we've got a sense, I think, if nothing else, that there is a hell of a lot of diversity in this room, and there are a lot of different ideas, different approaches, but there are also some common threads that are coming out as well, and I think that's interesting, and I think that's something that we can all kind of take away to lunch and kind of sit with for a little bit.